I'm like, I could never nap in high in college.
No,
like,
no.
Never.
That was for me. It was kids. It was like kids. All the kids would like take a nap and be like, first it was like with the baby. I'm like, oh yeah, I could probably just shut my eyes here with you for a minute here. And then it was like, yeah, a couple times like Roman, you know, needed a nap, but didn't want to take one. But we're like, no, like you gotta take a nap. And I'm like, I'll go lay down with him. Like we both napped, and I was like, dude, I slept for like 2 hours. So like this was amazing.
Welcome to Our Film Fathers Podcast, the definitive podcast about fatherhood, film, and fatherhood and film. This is Jelani, and with me as always are a botanist and a space pirate, Martin and Brady.
They say once you grow crops somewhere, you have officially colonized it. So, technically, I colonized Mars. In your face, Neil Armstrong.
In the face of overwhelming odds, I'm left with only one option. I'm going to have to science the shit out of this.
This week, we are the first people to be alone on an entire podcast. No, that's not it. We did, however, want to finally settle in and watch an isolated Matt Damon try to survive the elements of Mars. Did we watch his best performance? Did we watch his best movie? The questions are endless.
Did we watch Interstellar? Because he's isolated on that one, too. No, we did not. We watched The Martian.
The Martian.
Was it his best movie?
I don't know, it's hard to say. He's got a lot of good ones.
Well,
I love this movie, though.
And that's where I was going with it. So I was watching it and thinking, I think this might be his best movie. I mean, I was kind of thinking about it in the middle of it without even looking up what some of them are. And a couple other movies jumped to mind. And so I...
Good Will Hunting.
Good Will Hunting came to mind. Saving Private Rounders. Ryan came to mind.
Thor Ragnarok.
Rounders didn't come to mind.
Didn't come to mind, okay. What'd you say?
Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah. Euro Trip, for sure.
Scotty doesn't know. That's the best cameo,
maybe
probably.
Best cameo, yeah.
Of all time.
But legitimately, I think there's a chance this is his best
movie. Overall
it
might be it. Yeah, because it is very much driven by...
Which I guess tells you how I feel about this movie.
Yeah, but. Totally. It's driven by... his humor, his acting, I mean, hands down. I mean, it's a really good script. It's just a great movie. Like, there's so much going for
Oceans.
It. And he's the perfect.
Born.
I
mean, his resume is pretty unreal.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
In the grand scheme of things. In terms of, like, really, really great movies, maybe not award candy. Sorry, Martin.
That's all right.
I think
this got some love, though.
It did.
Yeah.
And
on
hence.
The technical side?
What? No, he was nominated for Best Actor.
Oh, he was?
Okay.
Oh,
that's why
I didn't even know.
His best performance was the first question because, it is his only nod, I believe, for. He was Best Actor for Good Will Hunting. He was nominated.
Yeah. But he won for Best Screenplay.
Best Supporting Actor for Invictus.
Okay.
Which
sounds like I've seen.
Yeah. No, you're fine. Kevin will tell you should have watched it, but it's unless I'm forgetting something. But yeah, I think this is his best performance, and I think it's his best movie.
All right, great. I like the bold statement. And of course you read the book.
Yeah, it was started as a blog.
I don't know. No, but I read the book on a recommendation from one of my friends, Phil Viso, Chris's brother, and it was great. Great read. So when I saw that they were making the movie out of it, I was all over it. You read it too, right, Jelani?
Yes. Yep. Yes, I did.
What?
I don't know. It's a weird response.
I wasn't leading you there. I guess I was.
I did not read the book.
Oh, okay. All right.
But I was going to ask you, though, because you did read the book,
yeah.
How much could you tell how much was Drew Goddard the screenwriter or how much was Andy Weir's?
I'm going to give a lot of credit to Andy Weir because
it
was pretty much like they cut stuff out. You know, I think the screenplay is all about the editing, paring down of how much actual science, because that's what made the book so great, is that there was so much details about how he's calculating out how many potatoes he had. And they leave a good amount of that in the movie,
but
they make it so it's not this, you know, boring science. Like, I mean, I guess the novel could be boring for some people, but the fact that it was so they didn't need anything additional to make it interesting, you know, okay. to make it like such a interesting story, because it's just surviving on Mars is hard enough.
Well, I think I saw reality. In the book, he's also got like a PhD in engineering.
Yeah.
And they
you could just tell,
but they removed that for whatever reason, they removed that detail from, rather than making a botanist and an engineer in the movie, they made him only a botanist. So Jelani's now moving this down his movie list.
Right. He would have been a superhero at that point.
I mean, I think he's an astronaut, and that's what they have to, like, he knows. I would imagine that all astronauts are this smart. Like, they can just science and math the shit out of stuff.
Maybe not the botany. Maybe. I don't know.
I mean, they probably don't all know about botany. So it's good that he knew about botany and the astronaut shit, which I imagine to be an astronaut, you have to know all that, all the astrophysics, you know? So I don't know.
I think there's some level of, you know, the floor of knowledge for astronauts is a lot higher than your average person. But
that's what I'm saying. Like, the rest of us would be like, well, I'm kind of fucked. But he's like, nope, I could do all this. Like, he just takes it. You solve one problem at a time. But it's like, I wouldn't know how to do the math on figuring out how many potatoes I need to grow and how many calories I need to survive and how many rations.
How much oxygen I need to
start
growing.
I would eat
all
my food the first day.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he ran out of ketchup, though.
Probably would have been eating shit at some point.
Instead of growing it.
Using it to grow potatoes.
Yeah. I love this movie. Yeah. My wife laughed at me when we were told her we were going to do this, because she's like, how many times have you seen that? I'm like, not enough. It's so good.
What do you think the answer to that question is? I mean, obviously, it's not going to be exact, but
this is my new Shawshank. Like, if it's on, I'm watching.
What's on? What?
I'll flip through FX. Yeah,
I don't ever flip through anything anymore. That's your point, right?
Exactly.
We used to flip.
Yeah. What's
now?
The,
we don't flip
well,
anymore.
Well, you don't have YouTube, or do you?
I do. I have YouTube TV.
So you're just scrolling the guide.
Yeah, I'll
scroll
the guide.
You're not flipping through. I feel like the old school way was like you're channeling up.
I'm scrolling through the guide, and if it's on, I'll watch it.
I appreciate that. That's such a millennial thing, though, because I guarantee none of our kids would ever think about just flipping through to find one. They're like, nothing's on.
Right. No. Yeah. I don't even like to do that at the hotel when you're stuck with that being your only option.
Yeah, just put on news.
I
don't turn it on.
I have it recorded or set on my YouTube, so it'll always just record it and keep it in my... Right. I don't think I'll ever get rid of it, because it's always good to go back to it. It's like... The cast is unbelievable.
So I'd forgotten how good the cast was.
Really good
if
cast.
You, it's been. I don't think I've seen this since. I think I've seen it twice before this, and I don't think I've seen it since within a year of it coming out. And when it started, I legitimately could not have told you one other person in the movie. I did not remember. All I could tell you was I remember Matt Damon, and that's it. And I know there's other people, but I don't. It was a blur of people, and. Shit, man. It's awesome. It's like I picked this cast.
This is Brady's movie, cast-wise.
Yeah. Close. No William Fichtner, but it's right there.
But yeah, I don't think... there's not a person that you would exchange for somebody else or that did a bad job.
Well, let's run through them real quick, because should we start with our girl?
Which one?
Commander Lewis?
Yeah, Jessica Chastain, yeah.
Yes.
Was supposed to be Kate Blanchett.
Okay, could have done that.
Would have worked.
Scheduling conflict, and it turned. I know. I don't think any of us would have been.
No. Nope.
And she, I guess, her and Ridley have the history, so they were. Yeah, but I guess the other girl, the other redhead in our lives, I think you're referring to as Kate Mara.
Kate Mara, yeah.
Yeah, two top redheads, same movie. Like, that's almost forbidden.
Right. It's a Nexus event. It's going to collapse the universe.
It's going to strand somebody on Mars.
We had let's round out the rest of the crew. You got Michael Pena.
Oh, which just huge, huge fan of Michael Pena.
Yeah.
Like, that's another guy. Definitely want Michael Pena in the movie.
Sebastian Stan before he blew up.
Also, side note, Kate Mara and Michael Pena, both Shooter alums.
There you go.
Wahlberg, not Damon.
Exactly.
Notably.
Sebastian Stan, correct.
Yeah, I don't think I first time knew who he was.
I'll be honest. You said you couldn't. I could replace Sebastian Stan.
Yeah.
Although that sweatshirt that he's wearing on the when they're on the Hermes looked comfortable as shit. I kind of want his hoodie.
Did not.
He's
notice.
Seen it a lot.
Yeah. Did not notice the hoodie.
He's his His detail has gone to like the levels that we're not even close to it yet.
So you see in the upper right hand corner in frame 36.
We're like 4 or 5 views away from getting to the Sebastian Stan sweatshirt level viewing details. You know how it goes too. You're like, I got all that part unlocked. You're like, what am I? My eyes gonna start wandering to new stuff.
And then a recent addition, because I called it out last week. Askel Heaney, I believe is how you pronounce his name. But
what'd you call me?
The Nazi from
Sisu. He's the Nazi from Sisu.
Yeah.
He's the other.
That's the reason why we're doing this movie. Yeah.
Did I not see that?
Yeah, that's why we talked about it.
I just was happy to do the Martian again. I didn't remember anything.
Yeah, I recognized him right away. And, it's totally from this movie that you know, when we were watching Sisu, I was like, I do know that guy, but I can't.
I was like, I like this guy. He should be in more stuff. Guys, my brain is full. I'm at capacity.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. There's no reason they should have that information, just like Sebastian Stan's hoodie, but it's in this brain, so yeah, you don't got to worry about
that's it. That's awesome. I'm really happy about all this.
Yeah.
I really liked him. But yeah, in hindsight, yeah, Sebastian Stan, I just don't, he does.
Yeah, but again, you're other not than replace him with a bigger name.
Hot Tub Time Machine, other than that, I don't need him in my life.
I mean, yeah, he's just, he's fine. But I'm saying
he did a
good job.
You're not going to replace him with a bigger name?
Yeah, why would you? It's a small
role. I don't think
role.
You need to.
That's I think my you point. Could. There's just other more endearing people.
But why? But there's no need to, is what I'm saying.
Hear me out.
For a smaller role, he's perfect.
Andy Samberg.
Then he overshadows Peña.
That's too much.
He takes
almost
he takes
Kristen
away from
Wiig was actually the one that almost took me out of it.
Ooh, that's you're right. That
you
was,
know what I mean?
Like, but she wasn't.
But she was fine.
And she wasn't,
I mean, she did have some comedic moments.
Yeah, minimal.
I did. I don't know.
It wasn't Kristen Wiig. I think she was trying to do a serious role.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And it did fine. But like I said, it almost is the point. It's like, oh, she's really, you know, I see her.
I mean, I didn't say Daniel Day-Lewis. We don't need to obviously go hardcore.
Yeah, she didn't go full method.
She lived in Houston on the base.
Donald Glover, though, if he went full method, I would believe
it. So, Donald, this is you see him getting into some, branching into other opportunities, I think. This is if you think back to when this was, like he's on that climb.
I think he was just channeling his inner Abed.
There's a little Community. There's a little bit of you that. Know, like, yeah. They said that one scene where he like fell and he's like, I need more coffee. He legitimately just slipped on like a piece of paper it. And Ridley loved it.
Yeah, that's
great. Donald kept acting and they thought it was awesome. And
it was really
awesome.
You know I'm your boss, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, like that's really, I mean, we talked about this a bunch of times, but the use of humor in a serious movie.
Well, absolutely. I
mean, this so much
nailed it every time.
Well, this was actually a huge point of conflict with this movie is when the movie got accepted by the Golden Globes.
Yeah.
It was under the category of comedy or musical.
Oh, okay.
And yeah,
I think I do remember.
Because of Kristen Wiig. and it won Best Motion Picture of Comedy or Musical.
Yeah,
it
should have been in the dramatic.
And like Apatow and others were criticizing them for like that it shouldn't have been allowed, and they ended up changing the rule that dramas with comedic overtones need to be on the drama side and not comedy side.
I mean, absolutely.
I think anyone that watches
this is a funny dramatic movie, not a comedy.
Yes, correct. And it's a disservice to people
writing and performing comedies,
which, like we said, are extremely difficult.
But again, to your point about Matt Damon. His comedic chops come through here. Like, just him being able to sit there and deliver the line of, fuck you, Mars, after taking a big swig of water. Like, that is impeccably done.
Which he has.
Makes me bust out laughing.
Which he has, and you know that from numerous other, you know, things that he's done.
She's fucking Matt Damon.
I almost just said that, right? You know, it's not just him. Obviously, we talked about the cast. We didn't even finish the cast. Like, there's,
we didn't talk about the whole ground crew.
Yeah, well, in NASA. Let's do that.
Yeah, so you got Jeff Daniels. You got Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Truthfully, I could have done. I don't know that I love Jeff Daniels either. I like Jeff Daniels a lot. I don't think I loved him in this role.
All right. I liked him because he was that kind of no nonsense.
I did like his tie though.
Yeah, I think.
Or the penny coming his lapel,
coming off of the newsroom, and
yeah, I just,
you know,
didn't.
He seems like he'd be the director of NASA.
Yeah, and he was there to be like the authority, mm-hmm. like asshole. Like he's the one they're battling or at least coming across that way. I just multiple times I'm like this. I just doesn't feel right for me.
Okay.
Chiwetel Ejiofor,
love
Sean Bean.
Love.
Benedict Wong.
Sean Bean didn't die in this movie.
No. No, he didn't.
Big fan of Benedict Wong. I love the love that role for him. I know you're going to get to the one I love the most.
Kristen Wiig.
No.
Mackenzie Davis?
Mackenzie Davis.
Yes.
Just feels like written for her. Mm-hmm. It just feels like exactly the person you want in that role. She's not too big.
Coming especially off of Halt at this and catch point. Fire.
Definitely. She had caught fire. She was she had halted and then caught fire. And that as soon as I saw her, I was like, yep.
Police Station 11. What's it called?
Station 11. 11. Yeah. Did you say police station?
Pre-station.
Oh, pre-station.
Before.
Yeah,
isn't station it 11. Also pre-Terminator Dark Fate?
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
Yeah, I watched that movie, but it wasn't great. But she was good in it.
You don't have to bring up the bad ones up.
And then just a little sneak, because he hadn't made it big yet, but did you guys recognize the...
I did Nate from Nate, Ted Lasso.
Yeah, Ted Lasso. Totally saw Nate,
yeah. Little, yeah, I wrote down Nate with from no Ted accent. Lasso. Yeah. Yeah, it was, yeah, noted.
Yeah. Also, four of the cast members are now in the MCU.
That's it? Yeah. I'm surprised it's not higher.
Yeah. But, so
well, I know Benedict
Wong. Kristen Wiig in the DCEU.
DCEU.
I know Benedict Wong and Sebastian Stan are obvious ones.
Uh-huh.
Hold on. I assume Matt Damon is qualified.
Oh, five.
Does he qualify, really?
Yeah, I mean, not really, but you could throw
Michael
him
Pena
in.
From,
Ant-Man.
Six. Ant-Man.
Oh, oh, wait. Geez. Wow. Keep okay, so that. I'm not there. Well, hold on. I want to think.
All right.
You're looking at the cast, too.
Yeah.
Which I should probably do. Are we, is there a deep dive in there? Or are these the obvious?
No, there's two big ones that you.
So.
Or one big one and one kind of subtle one.
Benedict Wong.
Going to be in. Or wait, he was in.
Wong, Pena, Stan. Oh, I guess I don't know. Go for it.
So you got Wong, Pena, Stan, Chiwetel.
I say I almost said him, but I don't know what he's from.
Doctor Strange.
Wow. I don't remember.
He's the one who brings Doctor Strange to the Sorcerer Supreme.
That's, okay, that's right.
Okay.
Keep going.
And then you have Donald Glover is in the Spider-Man series.
Yeah.
Oh, so
he's in Homecoming.
Duh. I looked right at him and I was like, nope, he should have been.
Yeah. And then I guess if you throw Matt Damon in there, right.
How do we not have Jeff Daniels in the MCU?
Jeff Bridges.
And William Hurt. I think William Hurt took the Jeff Daniels
right,
role.
He took the Jeff Daniels role. Very nice.
So, but yeah, again, like you said, the thing that jumps out to me about this movie is just the humor in it. And the fact that they actually focused on the guy who's on Mars, and that was the focal point, not anything else. Like, it was, how are you going to survive? How are you going to get through this? They have the humor, like you said, when he blew himself up.
The narration was so great.
Yeah.
The comedy aspect of it, but also, yeah.
Yeah, when he blows himself up and he's literally still smoking. He like sits down, he's like, yeah, so I blew myself up. And I'm going to get back to it after I
But just,
catch
just
my
that
breath.
You have enough drama. You have enough drama from literally from just trying to survive on Mars. And again, this is all impeccably researched into like reality of how it would actually be, you know. They call them souls instead of days because it's not a day. It's a different, you know, different amount of hours. Talk about that in the book, but all that kind of stuff that you don't have to have an extra gimmick of some kind of actual Martian or some kind of sci-fi element to it.
Would have really ruined the entire
like a movie like Mission to Mars or something like that, where they do add this another elements because they don't know how to make it good on its in reality
in the merits.
Yeah,
yeah.
So it's you said like this is technically there's a lot of reality to what you're saying. I saw something where Neil deGrasse Tyson said this is the most accurate film he's ever seen, and I'm like, that says a lot because he calls out
everything.
Single minute thing that he sees wrong or hears wrong
for sure. Yeah, and that it just shows, and
that's also not to say that it's great, it just means that it's the best because he is his what he grades on is a pretty steep
he says an Interstellar too, like he had a bunch of tweets on when Interstellar came out and said that was, you know, pretty good too. But there's obviously a lot of stuff that they don't, it's more theoretical with black holes. But like this, yeah, they're like, no, everything should check out exactly like this.
Yeah.
Like you said, yeah.
You mentioned Mission to Mars. So I rewatched that just because I thought maybe, just maybe, it would be good.
Hold on. Yeah. That's not what you were saying last week. You were... I believe your comment was, why does no one think this movie's good?
No, my comment was, why didn't this movie work? Like,
yeah.
I thought it
should. You have an answer to that?
Yeah.
Yes. I do have an answer to it. So the reason, here's my hypothesis is you have a movie that is, one, directed by Brian De Palma, starring Gary Sinise, Tim Robbins, Don Cheadle. It's written by Jim and John Thomas, creators of the Predator franchise. Written by Graham Yost, who did Justified and Silo.
Yeah.
I'm like, all the elements are there for a good movie.
Yeah.
The dialogue is awful.
Yeah.
The storyline is too fantastical, less realistic. They focus on the rescue crew rather than Don Cheadle, who's stuck on Mars. It's so bad.
I'm really glad I didn't watch
it. It's yeah, not this, good
at all. There's that whole, again, the whole like sci-fi element.
It felt...
Or
it,
like whatever that creature is.
Yeah.
Like, what felt, is that?
I don't know.
Is it a Martian?
There is some kind of...
It's supposed to be like an alien that was alien there before thing. Us. Yeah. And
it's like when you have that, it just to me, that has to be done really well, and it just is not in that movie.
It felt very childish, and the way it started, very similar to The Martian, was there's, you know, a huge dust storm, people die, and it was just like, all right, but now you're not even going to deal with the trauma of that. You're just be like, oh, we're going to send Tim Robbins, and we're going to send Gary Sinise out to go rescue Don Cheadle, and it's like...
It's just not, and it's just not as smart, you know. Like a movie like Apollo 13, again, really good too, because it's that's based on for sure reality, but it's very interesting to see people try to solve a problem. Like, hey, this is all the stuff we have this much power. How are we gonna get them back home? You know, and that's a very simple thing, but when you know that it really happened, it makes it that much more dramatic too. And this one, like. There were a lot of things that went wrong, and each one was kind of exhilarating.
Well, Chastain even alluded to that too. Like when they were on their way back, you know, the Hermes crew was on our way back, and they're like, "All right, we can do this, or we can do this." And it's like, "All right, we're doing this. What about that? We'll figure that part out as we go." Like right now, you know, I thought the tension of one not telling them for a long period of time, which obviously was not agreed upon by everyone on ground, and including Matt Damon. Who was like pissed off, and I saw both sides of that argument, right? Like, yeah, you don't want your crew to lose it. Obviously they're dealing with what off screen, but they're dealing with what you're alluding to, Jelani, and that like the fact that they
still have a mission to do.
Left and killed, left a dead friend ultimately. Right. And then they do find out, and then all of a sudden they're right back in and they all vote yes, kind of without a doubt, even though it's going to add
553 days.
I believe you. but they're going to do that. But also, I think they kind of, it's almost a lost line, but Peña even says, I think when his wife's like pissed and she's like, he'd have done it. He would have done it if it was me. Right. Like, and it's like, and that's really all it ever comes down to with, in so many different things in life is the people that care about a group. It is like, well, if the roles were reversed, he would do it. Obviously, I'm going to do it. Like
it's a very human story, right? Like that's what makes it work so well is that you're rooting for obviously us to save this one person, but also is like it's very hopeful for us being getting to Mars at some point. Like you look at this, and again, you're like this could be done. Like all these things that as long as if we just all decided together that we're going to get to Mars, we could do it all together as a globe, especially if we. You know, use China.
If you get up there, you stay away. If you see a yellow flag stuck in the ground, you stay away from that. Yeah. That is a buried. That's a buried radioactive plutonium
as
battery.
Long as it doesn't break or blow up. It'll keep me warm.
Make sure you get those Rich Purnell maneuvers.
Steely-eyed Rich Purnell.
And you know what? I didn't hate the music.
I did.
I mean,
I was so over it. Although
the joke, you mean?
Yeah. But also, like, that they were using the joke, it felt like, to have a soundtrack.
Yeah.
Which I understood.
For me.
I don't even know what I would have wanted elsewhere. It just isn't.
Yeah.
I can handle a couple songs here and there, but it's like.
They don't tell you what year this is, but you assume it's, you know, maybe
2035.
Yeah. No, I think probably a lot, you know, a lot more than that, like maybe 2100 or something. So for her to be listening to disco music,
but you thought it was.
But
that
everybody
far in the future?
Wasn't. Everybody wasn't driving electric cars, and they weren't using.
Wait,
three
why did
seashells?
You think it was so because, far futuristic?
Because they've already been to Mars a few. This is like what
we've been to Mars.
Yeah.
What
We've gone to, I mean, I don't NASA's think it, gone to Mars.
With a rover.
Okay. I don't think it was that far into the future.
Yeah,
because,
I just don't know that I understand the thought that it's like a futuristic type movie. There was nothing implying
Remember
that.
When he goes and he digs up the Pathfinder?
Yeah.
He's like,
from 96.
Yeah. He's like, we got guys in here dealing with 20-year-old technology.
We're nowhere. Okay, so you
that's
think it's
okay. Fine? It's okay that we're not there. It is a movie still, but
that's what I'm saying. Like, we're nowhere near.
It was a book you read. It was fiction. It was in the fiction
section. I
understand,
but that's my point. Like, we're nowhere. Like, in reality, we're nowhere near to going to Mars. But we could be. That's my initial point.
As far as you know, they're not going to let you in on
right.
all of this.
That's
come
pretty
on,
clear.
All right.
Elon has a house
but
there.
My initial point, forget whatever year this fight is, 2023.
He summers on the Schiaparelli crater.
Very nice. All right, I'll stop being serious.
No.
I was just saying it's when you watch this movie, you're very hopeful for future space exploration, and you know that I feel that people would get behind it, and because it's exciting.
It was interesting to see the dynamic of the world coming together and being enamored by and fascinated by this event. It did remind me of, you know, kind of our youth, right?
When
that type of stuff.
We actually had the space exploration.
It was like
sit NASA.
And watch
launches.
Which leads to my question. Two things. One, have you ever been and or have you?
Canaveral?
Have to you, space?
Yeah. Have you ever?
Been to space camp.
Have you ever?
Me and my
have you ever been to one of those, or have you, like, I mean, do you still, like, stop and watch some of the, I mean, a lot of times they are aired.
I geek out on this shit, for sure. I've been to Cape Canaveral as a kid, and but I've never actually seen a live launch, like, in person.
I've never seen one live. I remember watching them frequently on television growing up.
So I did when I was in
he was saving that little nugget.
In 08.
Oh, you've never been?
What? You've never been?
Twice last year.
In 08, yeah, when I was in Florida, my buddy Corey lived down there, and we got up at like 3 or 4 in the morning and drove.
Nice.
And we sat across the water from – I had it. And or have it somewhere buried. I filmed, I mean, on not nearly as good of a camera video as we have now on our phones, but it was fucking unbelievable. Like, that's an understatement somehow. It was like, it just didn't make sense how awesome it was to see in person and see like how it lit up. And it was just unbelievable. I was so happy we did it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's great.
That's a once in a lifetime opportunity, right?
No, they do it. You can go.
Yeah, they do it regularly.
People in
sell
Florida,
tickets.
I'm pretty sure, are like, don't.
They're doing it.
How
again?
Many are there? Like, a friend of ours, Iman, went down, and they rented a house that was on the water, essentially during a launch, SpaceX launch, so they could see it from like their deck.
Yeah, I think there's people that always. You know, question like, what's the point? Like, why should we go to Mars? Like, why should we explore? It's like, the point is, you don't know what kind of great discoveries and stuff you're going to find when just by trying to get there. By going there, you're going to make all these new discoveries. You're going to get technology that's built into the spacecraft that's going to help our everyday lives that you can't even predict.
Yeah,
just like they did with the moon exploration.
Yeah. Well, you're going to do figure out all the new science, right?
Right.
Figure out like, hey, this works better. We got to try to get to this point. How are we going to do it? Oh, well, let's think outside the box and try to do it this way. And then you have all these new inventions, new ideas that come up. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, there was a line there that stuck to me too. And I don't know that it was necessarily like perfectly written or said, but I think it was Daniels said, like, when something goes wrong, people forget why we fly, right? It is like that becomes what it's all it's about to the masses, but that's not what they're primarily, like you guys are alluding to. Like there's a lot of exploration and discovery that's out there.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, yes, shit can go wrong. And you talk about launches, like that's a launch I've still remember to this day when we were growing up, is the Challenger exploding. Yeah. I could vividly remember watching that. that. I mean, because everyone watched. It was like mandatory viewing, and
you were,
I can't
like, what,
even
five or something.
I was thinking 87. Am I wrong?
86.
I think it was 86.
Okay, yeah. So I was six, depending on what year, part of the year, but
yeah.
But yeah, five or six, and it. I can remember that. Like, that was just part of. I can't, like, you think about, like, what was the Nielsen rating on that? Because, like, it was the entire nation was watching that.
Yeah. I mean, I actually ended up writing a paper about it in high school.
We did a case study in college on the O-rings.
On the O-rings,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And groupthink.
Was it on his paper?
Probably, yeah. I think I read Jelani's and just
my dissertation from 10th grade.
Just copied
US history.
It. It was good enough. It's good enough for Iowa Business School.
Oh, Google. Damn it. Linux? What do we search?
Yeah. Nexus.
Lycra.
There you go, yeah.
Lexus.
O-rings and... Here, look at this. Look at this little
groupthink. You gotta, if you find a problem, you gotta say something.
Ask Jeeves.
It. Can't just,
he knows.
Ask Jeeves for sure.
It's good for John Papa John College of Business.
Do you guys appreciate? We mentioned Sean Bean.
Yeah.
Did you guys like the very on-brand Lord of the Rings
call out
joke while he's in the room?
Oh, yeah.
Someone who was at the table.
Didn't even put that.
He was at the meeting.
Right. He was there.
That's yeah. That is nice.
That's when Kristen.
That's when Kristen Wiig made her. Yeah.
Yeah. She comes and goes. I hate you all.
I like looked around. And I was like, Sean Bean. I'm like, God, he was right. I was like, am I crazy? I was like, it seems like something they'd be like, we can't do this joke strictly because Sean Bean's in the movie. But
the main reason I didn't really love that is because I don't love Lord of the Rings.
I did.
You did at the time.
We
never really talked about it.
You know, I hate something about it, but
no.
Well, I hate Gollum.
Sandra
Bullock. I hate Gollum, obviously.
Oh, you hate Gollum? Why do you hate Gollum? Oh, all right. The actor. But you don't really hate Gollum. Like, you can't tell it's Andy Serkis.
No, but to tell you the truth, I don't know how anyone isn't annoyed by Gollum after, like, the first... Like, if you cut his screen time in half, I'd still probably be annoyed by how much Gollum there is.
I think the main reason...
I read those books though a lot when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, see, I loved the
Some of us read books.
I liked Gollum in the animated Hobbit, so I was disappointed by real life.
Gollum. You thought Andy Serkis ruined him?
Yeah, kind of.
Well,
I wasn't as much in love with it as everyone else did because I liked the voice.
No
the
one should have been in love with it. It was like people forget. Like, it's so annoying.
No, my brother,
your take.
I'm not. I don't care for him. I don't have to go back and watch him. But my brother-in-law loved the books, read them all. So he has refused to watch the movies because he's got his
this stance.
He's got his idea of what it should be, and then is like, no, I know what.
From what I understand, they did him justice.
But. Yeah, I mean, I don't think like Peter Jackson was like, well, I hate these books, but I'll do it.
I think he's like, he basically was a hobbit,
so. Right? Like
he loves.
I don't.
They got the right person.
Even if you watch it and don't like it, it's like it's not because like the people that made it were like not into it and like not. Really devoted to really making. I mean, I think they did a lot of things really, really well.
Yeah,
and
I'll acknowledge all of that. But I was just like,
but
at the end of the day, I had to have the Clerks too. I think feeling about it. Like I think Jason Mewes or whatever his name is just says, this is the first movie, someone walking. Second movie, someone walking. Third movie, someone walking, and then he throws a ring into the fire. Like that's basically all that happens. Like the whole movie is just them throwing a ring into a mountain.
Yeah,
but I guess every story is like that.
That was
J.R. Tolkien.
Yeah.
That was also the time when Orlando Bloom was like the most
Tolkien?
Bankable
Tolkien.
Actor.
Orlando Bloom was in his heyday.
He was making bank.
He only did massive franchise movies.
Yeah.
Pirates.
Yeah, Pirates.
Pirates
yeah.
of the Caribbean.
The Pirates
there was another one, though, I feel like. Am I crazy? Was it Pirates and the Lord of the Rings? I feel like, am I crazy? Was there one more?
I don't
that he was some other series
I don't
that he
know
was
another
in?
Franchise that he was in.
No.
He made that money and then.
Matt Damon was Jason Bourne, not Orlando Bloom.
Right.
I don't know any other movie. No.
Maybe I'm off, but anyway.
No.
So you didn't like the disco?
I didn't love I didn't dislike it. I just was like, okay, yeah, I think
what was funny to me is that they probably had other music, right? Like he didn't have to only listen to her. Like it's music, right? It's a thumb drive for endless whatever. They probably had a lot more.
Well, we don't know what year it is, so.
Right. They're probably still rolling MP3s. Probably Zoom.
I'm just saying, like, he probably had other options other than Happy Days to watch on TV. And
yeah.
I feel like it didn't take up that much space to have
that part's a little but that viewpoint's a little archaic of like, oh yeah, you're stuck with this one tape we brought and this
but that's
one.
What I think I think he was trying to, you know, feel connected to somebody. So he's like, I'm going to go through their stuff,
right?
Fun of it, and then yeah, to make the joke and
agree.
Oh, she only has disco, and to be funny, and I thought it worked. You know, they had to do something, and they just picked that era.
Yeah,
and it works for the joke at the end.
Yeah,
and it was very, very thrilling at the end, right? Like,
well,
whole Iron Man thing—that's funny too. And
yeah, that might have been
no way that would work. The only part that's unbelievable.
You might have been pushing the correct. You might have been pushing the limits of like what is, you know, like that was like okay, you've done so good for so long. And now towards the end, you're going to be like, all right, well, I'll just Iron Man our way up. And it's like,
fuck it. There's no way he'd make it out the hole and going the right direction. I don't know. Just a lot of it to me.
Felt to me like when they hit,
yeah,
their helmets were going to crack.
Crack.
It was like, yeah. I mean, even like felt like they waited for it to happen. It was like, we're good. actually, the only thing I think I saw that they said the most unrealistic aspect, I think it wasn't Ridley, but who, I don't remember who it was actually the storm in the beginning,
a dust storm,
because they said due to the, like the pressure on Mars, a storm rolling in
wouldn't be that slow.
One, wouldn't sound like that, and two, they said it would literally feel like a breeze in your hair, like because it just wouldn't. It presented as a storm here, right? Yeah. Like it presented like what you think is a massive storm, but it wouldn't, because of the pressure there, it just alters everything and it wouldn't act like that.
It wouldn't have that much force.
Right. It wouldn't be like, oh, I can't, like you can't even exist or see or whatever. It's like, that's just not how it, I think in the technical sense, that's not how something like that would go down. Okay. But again, it's like, which is better, right? Just give us the storm we all know and... adds a
I'm
lot
told
of
there are dust storms on Mars all the time. So,
sure. So yeah, I don't know, but I mean, you tell me, Jelani. I don't think if you did you say what do you think your best? Do you have a best Matt Damon? Did you? I don't think you ever aired it. Or where does this fall?
This Last is, Duel.
Yeah. No.
I saw it. Did anyone else?
Yeah, I watched it. I didn't hate it.
This has to be pretty
same.
High. Pretty high on the list. I do like
you watched it a ton. Yeah, apparently,
I think for sure it's your favorite movie.
I do like the Bourne franchise,
and that's fine. Look, I don't think liking one takes away from the other, right? Like, I just think from a movie standpoint, I think Bourne's really awesome. From a overall, like, let's just say your own, if you're putting a Matt Damon Best Picture category and you're nominated, how is that not a thing?
Ford versus Ferrari.
I know, I saw it.
Yeah, that's another one. Just another.
Yeah,
one.
You're essentially giving, you're creating a Matt Damon Best Picture.
Yeah.
So we need, well, it used to be 5. Now we need 10. But
I don't know if I could give you 10, but I would throw Rounders in there. I really like.
I don't disagree. I didn't come to mind. I said, but I don't.
Yeah.
I don't think it's winning for me, but I don't disagree. It should be in the conversation.
And The Departed as well. It's really
Departed
movie, but it's not. Just because.
Yeah, I was going to say The Departed is more than just him, though. So that's why I feel like that's more of a Leo film than.
Well, you could say the same about Saving Private Ryan, right? Like.
Yeah.
Yeah, because wasn't he Private Ryan?
Yes.
He's the titular. Right. The titular.
He is, but it's like.
What's this known for? Did you guys already look?
I looked, so I'm going to exclude myself.
But... Jelani, you want to give it a shot? IMDb, known for game, top 4.
The
Departed.
You're a road trip.
Ocean's 11. Good Will Hunting. And Dogma.
Ooh, Dogma's a good movie.
Good call out.
Dogma. No, but you got two. You got Good Will Hunting and The Departed. Should have said The Martian, because it's the movie we're talking about. And Talented Mr. Ripley, which I always
I gotta
feel
go
like
back.
I gotta
never
go back
saw.
Never saw it. Yeah, I did not. I went to the theater for it.
So did I.
I remember.
Didn't like it.
Not liking it.
Not at all.
But I feel like it's because I expected more out of it, and maybe it's just a better movie than
I think. We might have to pull that
Matt
one
Damon
back.
March?
I think we pretty much got him covered.
We've got a couple of the big ones in there, but I feel
like he's got a good body of work.
Dogma is the one we should probably come back to at some point, just because it's been a minute.
I'd love to do a Kevin Smith.
And I remember really liking that movie.
Yeah, I love Chase and Amy. It's one of my...
I'm a Mallrats guy for life.
Mallrats. Love Mallrats, too.
God, that was a... I've seen that too many times, but... with his Boston counterpart, Ben Affleck.
Yeah. Yeah, we just did Air.
Yeah.
With them, too, as well.
Yeah, I mean, Air's not going to crack the list.
It's not going to crack
the list. Unfortunately, but that's...
And did we ever watch Stillwater? Did anyone watch it?
I did not. That was the...
It like had a lot of promise,
I think, like. I mentioned it. It was...
Went away.
It was the one, I want to say, some girl who American who was over there is like, this is essentially about movie about my life.
Yeah. That and is, then like sued.
Can't think of her name, but
I don't remember her name.
She either. Was like accused of a crime or it's not going to come to me, but she was like, this is a ripoff of essentially my story. And like, how do I get my, like, why am I not getting like some sort of royalty for this?
Got it.
Yeah. There was some controversy. I think that movie got put aside because after that, you're not going to see it all. You're not going to see it on all the streamings. The streamers.
Abigail Breslin is in it. Maybe that's the person that.
A Little Bit of Sunshine. Life.
Yeah. There you go.
Bagger Vance?
doesn't go up there.
Judah?
Oh, we did. Rainmaker. Grisham run.
Yeah. That was his like first movie, I think.
I think so, too. Him and Danny DeVito.
Wrong.
What?
You guys, you're better than this. First of all.
Good Will Hunting was before it?
No. He is... The literal first movie listed is Mystic Pizza.
Oh.
But I don't know what his actual role is.
What was
But School Ties is before that, which is definitely... He's actually
Coward.
In.
Kevin Kent loves that movie.
Sure. Courage Under Fire is in 96. Chasing Amy.
You've never seen Courage Under Fire?
I have.
And then Rainmaker.
Yeah, all right. But Rainmaker.
Good Will Hunting's the same year as like, Rainmaker 2.
He was like top billed in Rainmaker. Rainmaker 2. Even more rain. The downfall cometh. I don't know.
Dude, this run, though. Rainmaker, Good Will Hunting, Saving Private Ryan, Rounders, Dogma, Talented Mr. Ripley. That's a six-movie run over That's the course of strong. 2 years.
He was in Field of Dreams, a baseball fan at Fenway Park.
So they said him and Affleck both were in the outfield. They literally, they're just
they're a speck extra
in the crowd. Exactly.
But, so again, if you haven't seen this film, go see it. It's worth your time.
Go see it. I mean, you're going to see it at home. It's not like this is getting rerun in the theaters.
Find it. Wherever it is, find it on streaming, find it on FX Movies, FXM.
And find Sebastian Stan's hoodie.
And wait,
find
that Stuck hoodie. On You? She has...
With Greg Kinnear.
Why was that movie made?
It's fucking really funny. That movie is
I saw it.
Better than you think.
No.
Yes, it is.
All right.
I'm telling you.
It's the Farrelly Brothers, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. All right, maybe I'll go back.
I'm telling you it's better than you think it is. Okay.
All right.
That's the bar I'm setting it as. What you think it is, it's better than that.
Like I said, I've seen it.
And you think it's really bad, but I'm telling you, it's just a little bit better than that.
As always, we don't want to come off as arrogant, but we're the greatest podcasters on this planet. So give us a follow on all the socials, subscribe where you listen, and don't forget to tip your waiters. Thanks, and go to bed.